Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey everybody, Eric Bischoff here, and have you heard about Strictly Business? Strictly Business is a brand new weekly series exclusively on adfreeshows.com. Join me and my co-host John Alba every Tuesday as we take a deep dive into the business of the professional wrestling business. And this is some straight up business talk here, no fanboy nonsense. We discuss television contracts, advertising, licensing, and of course, the highly debated ratings. So if you want an unfiltered, brutally honest, anti-fanboy understanding of the professional wrestling industry, well, Strictly Business is the series for you. And hey, if Elon Musk likes my tweets, and he did, you're going to love Strictly Business. Sign up now and listen at adfreeshows.com.
Do you love wrestling podcasts but hate all the ads? Well, you can get all the great podcasts early and ad-free at adfreeshows.com. It only starts at $9 a month, but you get exclusive series at adfreeshows.com like Title Chase, Eric Fires Back, Conversations with Conrad, and tons more, and a chance to interact with your favorite podcast hosts every month. See for yourself why thousands of other wrestling fans say adfreeshows.com is the best value in wrestling. Adfreeshows.com. If you could change one thing about your home, what would it be? A new kitchen, a new master bath, maybe put in a pool? What if you could do it with no money out of pocket and cheaper monthly payments? SaveWithConrad.com can help, and you can even skip your next two house payments. NMLS number 65084, Equal Housing Lender, SaveWithConrad.com.
What's going on, wrestling fans? It's time for another edition of DDP Snake Pit right here on Podcast Heat. I'm John Alba, filling in for Conrad Thompson once again, and I am joined by two bona fide Hall of Famers, the stars of DDP Snake Pit. First, Mr. Dallas Page himself. DDP, how you doing today, man?
I'm actually doing great, man. Trying to, what I call, fit 10 pounds of shit into a 2 pound bag. But besides that, I'm doing really, really good.
Well, this is going to be a great episode because we are talking about the life and career of Eddie Guerrero. And I know that you'll have some good stuff to say, but I'm really excited to hear what the other Hall of Famers got to say. He, of course, Jake the Snake Roberts. What's going on, Jake?
Well, you know, I'm positive, but, got a heavy heart today, man. Last week, we were talking about someone who I hold in the highest regard. Nobody higher. And I value our friendship as much as I do Dallas and mine. He's just a lovely, lovely man. And last week, out of concern, I brought up something that I had no business bringing up, because I didn't check who said it. Number one, you should never, and folks out there, you should learn from this. You should never talk about someone unless you've checked the facts. I said that I'd heard that Ricky was having problems with the mental aspect.
Ricky Steamboat.
And, I did it out of concern and love and fear. Fear that I'd been the reason, maybe, that he was having problems. Good news is he's not having any damn problems.
Which I'm just going to interject here. He looks like a million bucks.
He always does.
I know, but dude, I spent a time with him, and it's like the son of a bitch can get in there and still go.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah. It just, you know, I repeated something that I'd heard from, I thought was a very good source, someone that spends time with him. And I was totally wrong in doing it. I'm ashamed that I did it. But man, I am so scared that I'm going to lose my friendship with him.
Not that bad.
And I've reached out with no luck. And Ricky, I certainly understand you have the right to ream my butt, kick my butt, whatever, man. But just don't shut the door on our friendship. That's all I ask. Because I would dearly miss that. But number one talent, ain't nobody better selling. And a phenomenal athlete, a phenomenal man.
Great human being.
Great human being. And please let me come back in. Thank you.
I thought that episode was a tremendous tribute to everything that he's brought to professional wrestling. And the stories that you guys both shared, I thought were tremendous. So I really appreciate you sharing those words about Ricky. And I think it's very apparent, Jake, how sincere those words are. So very much appreciate you sharing that. And I'm looking forward to sharing some great stories with you this week, because I think this is going to be a really fun episode about the life and times of Eddie Guerrero.
How could it not be fun if you say Eddie Guerrero, you know?
Because that's exactly it.
Fun.
Eddie Guerrero, one of the greatest in-ring talents of all time and one of the greatest personalities in pro wrestling history. And your journeys with Eddie start maybe a lot sooner than a lot of people realize. And I want to get into how you both first meet Eddie. So when was the first time both of you had an interaction with Eddie Guerrero?
Well, I got to go back to the Guerrero family. Because when I break in 88, the main feud that we had, Bad Company, Patsanok and Paul Diamond, was with the Guerreros. And God, man, Mondo is the first one I'd ever seen run at the ropes, boop, 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 like a cat jumping. I have no idea he's going to do this, by the way. Get just to the top rope. And then he, Pat and Paul were down. They were like, D, come here, come here. As I come at him, I'm so bummed I lost this picture. There's Mondo, 20 feet in the air. And they're coming down, and I'm like, what the? You know, because
I'll go get help.
I've been working maybe 3 months, which means 3 days. Because I work one day when I go in for the AWA.
Oh, my God.
And we did 4 shows. I made $150.
Oh, they overpaid you.
Do the math. $37.50. A show.
But you're a star.
people think they see you on TV.
Oh, man.
They automatically think you're making money. Not true.
That's it.
The first 3.5 years, I tell people this all the time. First 3.5 years, between gas to get there, the outfits I was wearing, it cost me a lot of money.
Yeah.
To try to be Diamond Dallas Page as the manager and the color commentator. But those Guerreros, Hector and Mondo, were so unbelievable.
Yeah.
One time we had Mondo upside down, and he's in the middle of the ropes, and his legs hooked, and we're just, but I'm coming and getting cheap shot. Here come the baby faces.
Those were potatoes too, I guarantee you.
Here comes the baby faces running out of baby face locker. So I'm out of there. And as I take off and hurl the corner, you know, back then in the 80s, it's a rope.
Yeah.
There's no guardrail. And as I come around the corner, here's a guy got to be about 5'7". And he's here. As I turn, I think he's one of the boys. And as he comes, he hits me square in the face. Now, I'm already getting out of there. I'm about to take my own bump on the floor. But he connected, and I realized as I went down, he wasn't one of the boys. And I sprung up by the time, the cops are there. And, oh, it was Man, my pace was swollen out there. He caught me perfect. Some bitch got away with it.
So that's, when that happens.
So my two really big memories there is that. Had some good heat. But Mondo jumping up that top rope. And then what's the last thing that I've done in professional wrestling? Jumping off the top rope on the boys at AEW.
Yeah.
Like, what's the odds of that? So
that's crazy. Is that crazy?
Yeah. That crazy? So friggin' Mondo and Hector are so good, but I hear about, but their brother, Eddie, and he's a kid then. I mean, he's a
13,
kid.
13, 15.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
So I've already heard the legend of who the really unbelievable one of the brothers are, you know? And I don't meet him until Jake. So I start wrestling, of course, and Jake takes me under his wing. I tear my rotator cuff. Yeah, I'd been wrestling about 9 months. WCW, you know, friggin', you know, they're not going to keep me. I'm 36 years old, pseudo rookie, been wrestling 9 months. But Jake takes me under his wing. And as I heal up, he brings me and gets me booked on plays. Some of them made me do myself, so I get used to doing that.
Yeah.
But the thing is, there's that first video that you sent me with AAA.
Oh, God.
And then back then, I'm about 275.
Did you have your fur coat on?
The what?
Did you have the fox fur on?
No, I wasn't wearing it. I was wearing a zebra. Damn. I was wearing a zebra with that one. But going there and being a part of that, like I'm Jake's second, his bodyguard, you know, but the show is him and Love Machine, Art Barr, who was another
phenomenal talent.
Unbelievable talent. And there's Eddie Guerrero. So I finally get the beat of, and now we're all on the same team and we're against Conan, who's over. Conan was over,
so
like
over.
He was so over. It was like when he came out last. Perro Aguirre was there.
Yes,
Perro was at, you know, at the end of his career, but he was still out there, and they loved him.
Oh God!
But I can't remember who else is in part of it.
It was Conan, Perro Aguirre, and Blue Panther.
And Blue Panther,
still got something left.
And I'm telling you, friggin' Conan was over like the ultimate warrior over.
That's what I want to get into.
Over he was.
That's what I want to get into.
It was so funny. It was so funny that he was over like that because he's not even Mexican.
Yeah, he's Cuban.
He's Cuban. What a rib he's playing.
Let's put things into perspective a little bit. So AAA is running really hot shows in Los Angeles around this time. So we're talking early 90s, 94-ish.
Well, Los Angeles, New York.
This is like 90, maybe 89. Yeah, 90. Yeah, like 90,
93.
Right.
And Jake first gets involved. The first time we see you getting involved with Conan is you're pretending that you're just a spectator coming to watch a show. And
yeah, once I had a date since April Sherry.
Not a bad date. And
another story.
And
several.
He's having a hair versus hair match, and you end up costing him his hair versus hair match.
Yes, I did.
But or hair versus career match.
He has no hair.
And his career was on the line. Sorry as well.
Right.
And so he has to retire because you cost him. He says, wait a minute, that's not fair. I got screwed. And that starts this great program where Eddie Guerrero eventually comes into the fold. How did all this program get going? And what are some of your memories of that tremendous, tremendous feud?
Well, let me tell you the first time I met Eddie. I, growing up in a wrestling family, had met Chavo Sr. You know, he wrestled with my father. So I knew the Guerreros. And I seen all those little kids running around the back.
And
there was
crazy.
A bunch of them, brother.
That's crazy.
It was like a tribe. Okay. And so that was my first. My second was I met him in Florida when he was about 15. And my only thing I can remember from that is that I know the girl that took his virginity. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. He was quite shook up over that, by the way. It was a whole new world for Eddie. And then I get him in Mexico. And how I got him in Mexico was He's, hell, I got a phone call from Conan. And they talked to me about doing this hair versus hair thing. And at the time, of course, you know, I had that beautiful, long, cascading hair. Well, okay, you know, it's like, it was falling out anyway.
What was left of it?
What was left of it? And they offered me an amount of money that I could not refuse. And it was quite nice. So I went down and did the thing with Sherry. And oh my God, and what a night that was. We're in the Ball Arena in Mexico City, 50,000 people. And they're going to have me casually get up, step over the barricade, and blast.
Conan,
and cause him to lose. Now, before I blast Conan, I've got to get rid of the other guy because they're fighting on the floor. Well, I go, and it's supposed to be Jake, just nail him, he'll go down, yada, 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 turn around, bash Conan, work him over, throw him in the ring, the other guy will come in, beat him, 1, 2, 3. Okay. So I turn to this other guy, and I go, boom, thinking he's going to fall. And as I go, boom, he goes, ahiva, and hulks up on my ass. So I did what any red-blooded man would do. You mother, I blast him. He went down this time.
That's like the Stan Hansen line. You'll sell it the first time or you'll sell it the second.
Yeah, yeah. You may not remember it, but you will sell it. It splattered his nose, broke his nose.
Wow.
Part of it was sticking out of his mask. It was really
cool.
Yeah, it was awesome. But he went down. In fact, I had to help him up to get him back in the ring. But I got Conan in the ring, and he's still down. Fuck, get in there. Well, that's when the fun started. Because, my friend, you may have been to some crazy-ass dances before, but you ain't been nowhere till you've been in Mexico City and take out the number one hero of all time. Sherry and I were accompanied by a very large Afro-American man who was the tour manager for Salt and Pepper. He had gotten involved with AAA on the money end. And he had a lawyer who was also involved on the money end, who was this Jewish lawyer from New York. Tiny little guy. And he had brought his wife. And his wife was some Harvard think tank girl. This girl had no common sense at all. She was a think tanker, okay?
They have no idea.
No idea, none. And I tried to tell her before the match, you might ought to leave. Oh, we'll be all right. We'll be all right. So Sherry and I, we had to fight our way out of that damn thing.
I bet.
They've got bicycle stanchions on each side. They're pushing those things together, man. If they close, you have no place to go. And there's no way in hell you can open them back up with 25 people on each side pushing. So, man, we're fighting and we're trying to move. Now, my only gripe about that was Sherry was in front and she was getting to hit more people. She must have laid out 6 or 7 guys. I only got like 2. I'm like, Sherry, feed me one. No, what happened? You know, and
I'm Sherry Martin.
Oh my God, I'd take her over any man in a fight. No,
what I love about this, Jake, is that this is the beginning of a well thought out program. This all goes down on April 30th, 1993, in Mexico. As you said, it was a hair versus career match between Cien Caras and Conan, and once you guys get involved, that paves the way for you to have this awesome, awesome feud that would culminate a year later in Hair versus Hair. But eventually, you face Conan and Cien Caras in a 3-way, and that's in the United States. And that's where we first see Art Barr and Eddie Guerrero become involved, and they are aligned with you. What do you remember about that night? Because this is one of the largest crowds in the U.S. in wrestling that year, and it is hot as shit. These fans,
like 17,000 people.
was like, it was the Los Angeles Sports Arena. It was like total sellout.
Yeah. But it sold out quick too. They should have ran two shows, two payoffs.
What do you remember about that?
Well, they threw us together, man. And I was happy. I was happy for the simple fact that I had some guys I could actually communicate with. Pharaoh Guayo, no English at all. The only thing I could do with him was drink tequila with him. And we did a lot of that night in Mexico City, man, because we could not get out of the building to 4 a.m. because the people were still waiting outside to kill my dumb ass.
Yeah, Jake had to have the cops take him out of there.
Well, they had to have a impromptu autograph session from the baby faces. They call their baby faces, had them come down and do a fucking autograph session at 4 a.m. in the morning just to draw the people away enough so we could get out. So I sat in the locker room from 11 to 4 with Perro. He was the only one that stayed. And we drank tequila. Too much, I might add. But we got out of there. And that's when it set it off, man. It was on fire, man. So no matter where we were, we went to New York too, and it was just on fire. But L.A. was special because I just left the WWF, and going to that building and feeling what those Mexican people threw at you. Not literally, but we'll get to that too.
They did that too.
I might mention batteries, cups of piss,
the
nail nacho
clipper.
Sauce,
the
nail clippers.
Oh, my goodness.
Those hurt.
Yeah.
They chunked everything. Bottles, you know. A bottle you can see, but a nail clipper or a battery, you don't even see it. Batteries really hurt.
Oh, Jake also took, what was the Mascarada Serena?
Oh, Serena, the midget.
The midget dude.
I press slammed him.
He press slammed him and bring it. I mean, and they love that kid. He was an unbelievable worker.
Yes.
He was a mini-me who could really go.
Yeah, he was only that tall.
Yeah.
But he felt heavy.
Jake picked him off that top rope, friggin' slam. Boy, he got so much heat on that.
The crazy thing you do.
And then I got in there and did some spot little Conan, and place went crazy, flipping over. I mean, that was the craziest, most passionate crowd that I've never been in front of. Taking AEW, I've never been to ECW and did it there, but I watched the crowd, and I never seen a crowd that passionate. And like, they would have killed us if they could have. They would, they would have.
So at this point, you know, the guys are all about trying to figure out a way to get better. Well, science tells us the best way to achieve and maintain consistent deep sleep is by lowering our core body temperature. Temperature controlled sleep is going to repair your muscles after a hard day's work, and it's going to improve your cognitive function to strengthen your athletic readiness. And that's why this Memorial Day, Chili Sleep is working with veterans organizations to support our heroes' sleep and recovery too. Let me explain. If you're not familiar with Chili Sleep, guys, this has been a game changer in my life. I absolutely love it. I love it so much I travel with it. Chili Sleep makes the customizable climate controlled sleep solution that you need. You need it to improve your entire well-being. I say that from experience. I'm sleeping better than ever. I give 100% of the credit to Chili Sleep. These are water-based, temperature-controlled mattress toppers that fit over your existing mattress to provide you your ideal sleep temperature. And I mean ideal. Like, my wife sleeps warmer than I do. I like to sleep a little colder. We can do that. This is like a smart thermostat for your bed. And this cooling technology leverages water's amazing thermal powers for deep, restorative sleep. Chili Sleep systems are designed to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, and give you the confidence and energy to power through your day. And recently, Chili Sleep has partnered with the Independence Fund for Memorial Day to donate sleep systems and to show gratitude to our veterans. Plus, U.S. military and veterans can get special savings at checkout through Memorial Day weekend. Head over to chilisleep.com/DDPSnake to learn more and save 30% off the purchase of any new Cube or Uller sleep system. This offer is available especially for DDP Snake Pit listeners and only for a limited time. That's Chili, C-H-I-L-I, sleep.com/DDPSnake to take advantage of our exclusive discount and wake up refreshed every day. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
How did you feel about the pairing of Eddie Guerrero and Art Barr with you, Jake, and DDP? What'd you think of that as well? Because the way I look at it, it's like, okay, those guys are there to take the bumps and Jake can be the big time star in the ring.
Well, they came to me and they told me, Jake, we don't want you to take any bumps. Well, that's not my style. I felt really weird not taking a bump. And it took a lot, man, for me to try to not take a bump. I'd catch myself going, no, don't you dare go down, you know. Mm. But they wanted the Love Machine and Eddie to do the bumping.
And those guys could
bump. Oh, they could bump. Because here's the reason bump. They could bump so well. They tried to outdo each other.
Yeah.
One of them would go in and do a bump and look at the other one and go, yeah, what are you going to do? And he'd go in and try to outdo that. They were young, okay?
Yeah, they could
do anything. Very young. They hadn't started getting hurt yet. But, yeah, having them around, man, was a lifesaver for me because there's no way in hell I could keep up with those kids, you know? And they'd put us in six mans around the country down there. And I remember one night.
Anyway, before you tell the story, you have to understand, when there's six mans, there's six entrances. And I don't mean like WWE entrances, which are long. I mean, it took 20 minutes to get everybody out there. It was like, I was like, it's a pageantry.
Jesus Christ, yeah. Come on. It was
a pageantry, man.
Yeah, it's wild, man. And they enjoy every minute of it. And it's held to high standards. And each guy wants his moment. And by God, they get them.
They get them.
But I remember one night we were in one of those cities down there. I can't remember the name of the city. And if I could, I couldn't say it. So anyway, it doesn't matter. But... I came back to the locker room and I started throwing chairs and stuff and cursing. And Eddie and Art are like, what the fuck happened? It was great. Dude, it was great. What's wrong? So the promoter comes over with the interpreter. Jake, what's wrong? Why are you so upset? So I tell the guy, I said, tell that son of a bitch, if he can't get me some guys that can take better bumps than those guys, I'm out of here. I quit. And Eddie and Art went, what the fuck? Are you kidding me? Because they'd beat themselves to death, man. And I got a sick sense of humor, so it blew over fairly quick.
Yeah, but they
hung with
me. They realized you were ribbing them.
Yeah, it was a rib. And, no, they were fantastic, man. They made my job so easy. They'd go in, flip flop, bing, bang, boom. I'd go and go, boom, boom, DDT. How much better can it get?
Yeah, you know, and Art Barr, it's one of the people who never, you know, he talk about two people who died way too young.
Yeah.
He was, to me, I think maybe the youngest.
Yeah.
That had people that hadn't seen him yet. Like, you had to be from that niche of that world. I'd heard of him.
Yeah.
But I'd never seen him. And then I see him. And you're like, I mean, Eddie held him in such regard, man. You know, he was the first young one I went, wow.
He was the Love Machine.
The Love Machine.
he was a great kid.
I think
kid,
he's from Portland, wasn't he? Or something
yeah,
like
he
that?
Was from Portland. He had a brother, Jesse Barr, who had already stained the name. Not in a positive way. Jesse had some issues like I did. And, and Art to die the way he did at home. With his young son in the house for 2 days while daddy wouldn't wake up. And they finally came by the house and somebody peered in the window and the baby was right by daddy and daddy was dead.
Yeah. That was a shame, boy. He was a great, I was only around him a little bit.
A lot of fun. He choked on snus, man. He fell asleep dipping snuff and
Yeah.
It wasn't long after you guys worked with them too. It was in 1994 he passed. Yeah. He was just 28 years old.
He had not gotten near what he had coming.
Oh God.
You know, and
if he would have been around when we exploded with Eric Bischoff,
Christ.
Oh man, he would have been a friggin' monster name, just like Eddie was.
Yeah.
Benoit and Jericho and all those guys, you know. He would have got a hell of a spot.
He might have been the best out of the group except for Eddie.
Well, Eddie was just 26 years old when you start working with him here doing this. So you're not kidding. And you had already known Eddie for 11 years at that point. You said you met him when he was 15. So Eddie's really coming into his own, and you guys end up working the six-man tag on November 12th, 1993 in LA. And that's where you three defeat Conan, Pedro Aguayo, and Blue Panther. You guys were just talking a little bit about that match before, but I want to quantify just how insane the heat is, because I think you can say to people, oh, the crowds were crazy. Oh, Jake, you're saying they had to send the baby faces out, but this is unlike anything you see.
This is dangerous.
This is where they
life and death.
They believe it.
Yeah.
Like they believe it.
They believe every punch. They believe every word you say.
Yeah.
For instance, I went down to Acapulco and I was going to wrestle. And I went to the TV station to do an interview. Well, on the interview, I might have said some things that weren't quite nice. You know, I think I said something about I was here as a ambassador from the state of Texas. Because I realized my forefathers stole that whole state from the Mexican people who were the rightful owners. And I'm here to give it back. Because if we ever decide we want it back again, we'll just whip your asses again. It's no big deal, you know. And then I mentioned the 96 Olympics. And the reason they had it in Atlanta is because anybody who could run, jump, or swim was already there. And I go back to the hotel. Oh, and I finished up by singing the Frito Bandito song, which they had taken, Frito-Lay had to shut that down, that whole commercial, because the Mexicans thought it was, you know, horrible to the Mexican people. You know, I and Frito Bandito.
Yeah.
I love Frito's corn chips. I like them. I do. Yeah. I love Frito's corn chips. I steal them from you, you know, and they thought that was pretty bad. So I go back to the hotel.
They were right.
Yeah, absolutely.
They were absolutely right. Yes.
You know, they'd still be in lawsuits if it were today.
Yeah, but right.
I went directly back to the hotel. Well, as I go through the lobby, there's a lobby bar with the TV, and everybody's glued to the TV. So as I go, I glance up, I'm like, holy shit. They've got water cannons spraying people down. People are flying, man. I mean, you've seen a water cannon hit some people, but you see a water cannon hit a small Mexican man, he flies 20 feet up against the wall, smack. And they're blasting all these people, and the cops are hitting them with batons and stuff. And I'm like, excuse me, what the hell's going on there, man? I don't want to be in a country like this. Amigo, they are looking for you. That is the TV station. They're trying to kill you, you son of a bitch.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, fuck. They had rioted and stormed the TV station because they knew I was in there. They wanted to kill me.
Wow.
Get the house you want with the payment you want at buywithconrad.com. And you don't need perfect credit or money out of your pocket to do this at buywithconrad.com. NMLS number 65084, equal housing lender. The first step to buying a house is buywithconrad.com.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen. America starts the day with America in the morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
So
they'd love this, Jake, though.
That was a good reason to do cocaine. Yes, back
well, Dallas, how good of a fodder was Eddie then in helping attract that heat furthermore for Jake? Because that's what pairing him with a guy like Art and a guy like Eddie is supposed to do. They're supposed to go in there, do the bumps, and further accentuate that heat. So how good were they at doing that?
Amazing.
They're magic, you know, and if you just watch the entrances, you know, just the entrances of those guys coming out, like, and they're wearing red, white, and blue.
Yeah. Oh, that's, how dare you?
You know,
you can't do anything worse than wear the red, white, and blue. But see, they were so smart, man. They would go out and fly. But then as one guy's in the ring flying, the guy on the outside's going to maneuver around to a place to where he can trip a guy or he can get a cheap shot on the guy to stop him. And then they would tag in and they go bing, 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 and they turn it around again and give him another comeback. Because that basically was the whole match, was constant comebacks by the babyfaces. Because they were doing the job. So you want to make them shine, and then we'll steal it. And we did.
Eventually, you get your comeuppance. So, Conan gets
one. It was an experience, boy. It was, man.
It was
a cool experience to be a part of.
Cutting the hair with
Dallas, seeing that firsthand, how much did that whole experience open your eyes, especially as you were making your pro wrestling journey and you were making strides in that regard?
Yeah, man, I've been wrestling for like a year and a half. Not even because I took off, it's probably 6 or 7 months because of my shoulder. You know, then I was just studying, you know, and then trying to rehab back, get the shoulder back. Coming in, like I say, Jake, we went to independent shows and worked all over. We went to Singapore.
Yeah.
Conan came with us to Singapore, and we had a whole big crew for that. And
wow.
The Philippines.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, John Rizzi put that together. That was one of the experiences. And I was bummed out till you sent me that tape that I never had that. Got it now. You know, so I'm going to get some stills.
So you sent it to him. I see.
I sent it to you too.
No, he sent it to you too. You don't look. I look for us.
See how quick he jumped. I sent it to you. Easy, boy. Sit. Stay.
Yeah, but it was so fun to go back and watch it.
Oh, God.
And it was even crazier than I remembered it. Yeah. You know, that's the fun part of it. But I can remember Jake being laying on the mat. And at some point, he looks at me and goes, we're out of here. And that's when he pulled out the nail clipper, because the nail clipper was open. So it's, you know, it's a little knife on the end.
Yeah.
You know, blade. And they had thrown it, and it came flying in, and he trapped it, like, right in his chest.
Wow. Yeah, it was coming right at me, man.
The batteries were coming, cups of piss.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? We had chairs over
that
us.
That really sucks, too, whenever they throw a cup, and you catch it, and you think it's beer, and you, oh, no!
Did you guys know back then that Eddie had world champion potential?
Oh, yeah.
I just thought, like, you know, because I remember back then there was no smaller guys that you could imagine on the other side, whether it was, you know, WWF at the time or WWE, that they never, first of all, they never would even got a shot.
No.
You know, and every freaking guy that is 5'8" or under,
forget about it.
Oh, fucking owes Eric Bischoff a debt of gratitude, because he's the one, and him and Conan's the guy who's been booking those guys forever. Conan is the one who brought everybody in. He still does, like, freaking whether it's Rey Mysterio or whoever. Mm-hmm. Like, Conan's the godfather. you know, and he looks out for the boys. Yeah. And like when they first brought all those guys in to Nitro, WCW, the fans, the real fans loved it because they'd been seeing guys from there to when you watch Daniel Bryan and Kenny Omega and those guys come through the independent world.
Yeah, they would have never gotten the opportunity.
Never would have gotten it. And having guys like Eddie was at a different level coming in. Because there was a lot of the guys who whether it was Psychosis or I mean, there was so many guys, they were never going to get to that mid card. The Parker is one of the guys who could get there, but most of the guys were given their own little area. But Eddie was the guy who came out of that. You know, Eddie, and of course, Benoit was jacked too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but Benoit, Chris, you know, and Jericho, like all those guys were doing that. I don't think he was doing the cruiserweight.
No.
But they were coming up.
Yeah.
You know,
they couldn't be held down.
Yeah, he couldn't. You couldn't hold down Chris Jericho.
How are you going to hold that down?
You ain't going to hold down Chris Benoit. You weren't going to hold down Eddie Guerrero. And
there's no big man that can do that shit.
It just
at the time
for me personally, Eddie helped put me on the map because in 96, I had my first really good match with Sting in January of that year. That was the year that friggin' I started to come, you know, and I'm still, but it still took a whole another 10 months. It took to me to get to working with Eddie, and I want to say it was somewhere because we did Halloween Havoc. And that was October. So it would have been sometime around August or September, we started our feud. And Eddie was going away. And I had won the Battle Bowl. So I was getting, you know, a couple of months of just enhancement wins. Because they weren't going to give me anybody to beat. And one night, Kevin Sullivan was like, listen, you know, we got this idea with you and Eddie. And I'm like, sure, what do you want to do? And, you know, like, let's just do it. And Eddie is going to slip over, you know, with a schoolboy or something like that.
Such a devastating maneuver.
Right. And the whole angle was, though, I was still good. Eddie gets the win. He gets his hand raised. He goes, and you spin him and hit him with a cutter. And then you hit him with another cutter.
Yeah.
And then you put him on the top rope. And I'd never done that before yet. And
hit him with another cutter.
And then I grabbed Nick. I think it was Nick's belt and started whipping him. And here comes Chavo. Now, the whole reason that was done like that, because then he's going to go to Japan. He's got to go there for a month. I'll work with Chavo, which I never realized till I did his podcast. Chavo had wrestled 15 times or 20 times. I thought he's been working for a couple of years. I mean, Chavo, all those Guerreros.
So good.
Are just unbelievable athletes. And Chavo, what a career he's got now. I mean, that deal, you know, the Glow, he was the coordinator on that. But that Chavo used to do all that stuff in Hollywood too. Chavo Sr. used to do all that stuff. So it's sort of like second generation there, but he got a lot of guys the breaks to be on the show and doing all that. But Chavo and I had it, and he said, man, you took me through a hell of a match, man. You just, because I laid it out, I called it all, but I took stuff I knew he could do because he was really an amazing hand, especially for being so, I didn't realize it,
green.
Yeah. I was surprised. I didn't know. But then Eddie came back, and then we got the work. And over that period, the Diamond Cutter was getting over. And Eddie, at the time, he was kind of like a tweener. He was like babyface heel. He was a babyface. He got a babyface heel. So people started shifting over and cheering for me.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget that match I had in Baltimore. And I talked about it a couple of weeks ago. I grabbed the mic and I said something that I won't say here because now it's like, don't say that, you know. But I said, the last thing I need is a bunch of you cheering me.
Fuck.
And they shut up. They shut up. And Scott Hall grabbed me. He goes, what the hell are you doing? I go, I'm trying to get heat. He goes, yeah. And what'd they do? They shut up. No, they shut up.
Oh,
they shut up. And that's where I just started. I just changed the way I was working. But Eddie was the one that was giving me the props and showing like, hey, this guy can go. And then we had the match at Halloween Havoc, which he's supposed to go over. And I don't realize it, but when he comes off that top rope on me, he broke his rib. He keeps working. I snatch him, do the spinning powerbomb. He never sells it. He never tells me that he's in monster pain.
You could have killed him.
Broken
rib.
I didn't know.
You didn't know. Yeah, I didn't know.
If you see me pick him up at the end, I go to pick him up and he goes, Diamond Cutter. I go, no, Eddie, you're supposed to. I'm literally going, no, you're supposed to, Diamond Cutter. And if you see how he falls, and I never noticed it till after I'd seen it, he's trying to protect where he comes down on because he didn't want to do, he was hurting. And I didn't find out until we got to the back, you know? But that son of a bitch, he kept going. But he couldn't do the frog splash.
Oh, God, no.
You know? But even if he would have said, I want a small package, you stay down. I would have done it, you know, not knowing whatever, but.
He capitalized.
Yeah.
He saw it as an opportunity to raise it to another level.
Yeah.
Okay. You guys one more match.
Yeah. And he gave me, it was a huge boost. You know, MGM Grand, Halloween Havoc, and we'd still work together occasionally after that. Matter of fact, he came up with that crazy Diamond Cutter. When we were I was getting ready to go do the thing with Malone and Rodman and Hogan, and we're Saturday night, and Eddie comes up and he goes, hey, he goes, what about a Diamond Cutter out of a powerbomb? I go, how are we going to do that? Because, you know, your junk's going to all be in my face. Now, I'll tell you who did that. Orton and Ziggler would later do that. But Eddie, when he said, no, he goes, roll me up on your back. So when I pick him up, I roll him so, you know, he's looking up and he's over my shoulder. And I go, now what do I do? He goes, boost me. Right. Catch. I just gave him the boost. And right there, he spun in the air and we're not going to practice it. And he slides down my back. And I look back and I go, boy, if we could do that, that would be pretty sweet. And when we boosted and we went, it was like we did it 100 times.
That's awesome.
I mean, it was magic.
Who's going to take care of your family if something happens to you? What would they do without your income? If you don't have a plan, you need to go to GoliathLife.com. Get a quick quote for more than 20 carriers. You don't even have to leave the house. If you need a medical exam, they'll send somebody to your house or office. You're in total control. You pick the rates, you pick the payments, you pick the terms. You're in total control, but it gives you and your family peace of mind. What if something happens to your income? Hurry to GoliathLife.com.
It's a trilogy of matches that you guys have. The first one is that Clash of the Champions in 96. And then the second one is
Halloween. What date
was that? The Clash of Champions is in August of 96.
Right. So that sets it up. Is National Hall getting involved yet or not? No, right?
That's a little later. So
Right.
So then you have the Halloween Havoc match, which is what you just referred to as before. Right. And then ultimately, your third match, which I think honestly is the best match between you guys, is the culmination of the U.S. title tournament. The U.S. Right. title is vacant and it culminates at Starrcade 96. And you guys go 15-20 and Eddie pins you to win the vacant title there. By the way, in that Halloween Havoc match, you mentioned the broken rib. Meltzer reported that he also had a high fever and was showing flu-like symptoms that day as well. So Eddie was just a trooper, man. giving was he?
Most guys at that time were.
Yeah.
And before, for sure.
How giving was Eddie?
Eddie took it to another level.
As an opponent? Was he all about enhancing the opponent that he was in there with? Was he a giving opponent?
I'll tell you one night, me and Jericho talked about this. This is a crazy story. One night we're in Tupelo.
Tupelo?
In Tupelo. And it's not cameras. It's just a house show. And I film everything. I film every match. So we go out there and it's going and Eddie isn't right on step with everything, but he's still great. You know, he's just off a step and I don't really know. I'm not really just fuck, you know, just that today. It's not the magic that it normally is, but it's still good. And then I do something to him, and it's pretty big, whatever the bump is. And he comes up to his knees, he goes, "Come on."
Oh, shit.
I look at him, what the fuck is he doing? You know, come on. So I freaking boom, I hit him with a punch. He stags back, "Come on." So I hit him again. He comes back. He goes, "Is that all you got?" I'm like, "Fuck you, motherfucker." Now I'm coming. I'm really coming at his head. And for the last second, I go, "What am I doing?" So I loose it up. There's a reason why my fist looks like this, but I still hit him hard in the ear. And then I took him and I threw him and I turned him, hit the turnbuckle, and he hit and went boom, and he went flat down. And I looked at Charles Robbins. I said, "You tell that motherfucker we're going home." I'm like, "What's the hell?" He's like fucking busting my balls, right? He looks back and blood is coming out of his ear. And he goes, "He's out."
Ouch.
So I fucking go up through the heel. Finally, I don't know how we got into the finish, but Eddie was mad as fuck at me. He fucking come in that locker room and he came in. He goes, "What the fuck?" I go, "Come here. I want you to see it before you get pissed off." So I play it for him. He goes, "Oh, bro, I'm so sorry." It was his birthday. He was drunk as shit. And when I'm telling Jericho that, and I'd heard this before, Jericho started laughing. He said, "Yeah, we called him the Giant Guerrero." And I just knew something was a little off. But then when he kept coming, like, I wish I would have kept that match. It would have been so much fun. But he gave me a big hug. I go, "Eddie, I don't give a shit, man. I'm sorry." But I was really coming. Like, tucked my hand up. But
that's what pisses me off, you know? We go out there and we wrestle and we do all this stuff. And then we get mad. And we throw something and we fuck ourselves up. What the fuck, man? That's completely not what I had.
But that story, though, is so great, because at the end, Eddie came around and he showed that jubilant personality that everyone has associated with Eddie Guerrero.
I was super bummed when he was gone, man.
I don't think there's ever been anybody in the ring that has had that super exciting something about them. He didn't matter what he did. He had a smile on and he was moving and the whole body was working with it.
I really love what he did in WWE.
Oh, that shit up there was crazy.
I mean, that was bad. And the night when him and Benoit both
won,
that was
right.
Yeah, that was super special.
That was right. Because it was two special little guys.
Well, they weren't little.
Well, I mean,
did not.
They tall, weren't tall, six.
They weren't seven, giants.
Five, yeah. 300 pounds.
And they didn't need to be.
No.
They didn't need to
no,
be.
No, nobody's ever needed to be. Yeah. But you know, when I tried to get this little small guy hired by Bill Watts back in the 80s, he called him an effing midget, and he wouldn't, you know, what would he do? Put him on first time match?
Yep.
And guess who that was? Dynamite Kid.
He did okay.
Yeah, he was all right. Well, so how did Eddie, in your guys' opinion, help change the perception of what a world champion can be?
I think no matter what, just the work ethic and the belief in yourself, and you know, there was no like phoning in matches with Eddie Guerrero, you know. And I love that, because I was the same way. Like, no, we're going out there. I don't give a shit if it's dark. You know, I don't care if it's a dark match before the show. You know, I want to go out there. I can remember Sting giving Sting a match, and he goes, "Dallas, that's like a pay-per-view match." I was like, "Yeah, so? You know, it's Nitro." You know, and he was like, "You're right, let's go out and do it." But Eddie was always like that. He was always going to give it. And all, you know,
the best.
All those guys were like that. Yeah. Benoit was the same way.
Pride.
Jericho, same way.
You got to remember, they had to fight to get up there.
Yeah, I mean, I love that Jericho's had like the most unbelievable like fantasy career ever. Yeah. And not just as a wrestler.
Yeah.
You know, Fozzie,
the rock star,
podcasts, you know, friggin', he said he's the voice of Dark Side of Wrestling.
Yeah, and he had too.
I mean, just to name four things I can come off the top of my head with, you know, and Dancing with the Stars, you know, was doing that. That's how he, it wasn't that fucked his back up.
Yeah, he got my spot.
Yeah, right. It wasn't that. Dancing with the Stars isn't what fucked Chris up. It was all the bumps before that, and now you add that to it. Yeah. And that's what really got me and him close when I helped him, you know, get back in the ring. And look at him. He's 51, and he probably just signed another multi-million-dollar contract. And the new one, the new gimmick he's got now. I just saw him coming out with a, you know, bringing the Jericho Tribute or whatever. The
hell Jericho Appreciation Society.
Yeah, Jericho Appreciation.
Wow.
And he's shredding again. You know, that cat consistently. But, you know, Eddie was doing that too. He was constantly reinventing himself. You know, he was with the LWO. And then he went to WWE and was really just Eddie. But then when they really brought that whole charisma out on him, because he really had it, and that he could really play off of that. They really pushed him hard, and it was the next level, you know, of attitude era.
You remember the first time they came out with that fucking car? It was done.
Yeah, sure. I'll jump out there. It was great.
I mean, come on. Is that an entrance or what?
That's an entrance, boy.
Yeah, that just throws the motorcycle thing out the window.
How did you guys and your peers feel when we lost Eddie back in 2005?
Yeah, we ain't talking about that.
I'm not going there, man.
Yeah, it was
crushed.
Yeah. It was brutal.
Crushed, man. Angry.
Oh, I
was angry.
Yeah.
Still ain't.
You know,
it's great. I see his wife still in AEW.
Mm-hmm.
She's a sweetheart.
Can we talk about how good Vicky Guerrero is and like how much she took from Eddie and became, she became a legit Hall of Fame manager.
Excuse me with one word.
Sometimes, damn, all you need is one word.
Yeah. At the right time.
That's all you need is one word, and you got to have that charisma and all that to go with it, you know, because Ron Simmons is just he's a bit more than damn. Like, damn, Ron Simmons.
Oh,
Ron Simmons is such a stud.
Yeah.
Such a stud. I was just with him this weekend.
Yeah. Four starting years at FSU.
Yeah.
And the coach said he was the best football player he ever coached.
And he is the first black world champion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And rightfully so.
Yeah. Couldn't be a better guy.
No.
You know, couldn't be a better guy to.
Do you guys think Eddie would still be in wrestling if he were around today? He would have been around 55 years old.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
He might still be working. I bet he would.
I think he would.
I bet he would.
Yeah.
You know, he'd be lighting it up and probably most likely. I don't know, because I would say AEW, but WWE, he was a man. But, you know, they only let you have that for so long. But he might have been able to hold on to
AEW.
It. Yeah. I think he would have loved it.
He would have loved being there. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
What a great coach he would have been, too. What a great trainer he would have been. All around, tremendous, legitimate Hall of Fame talent.
What a spokesman for the Mexican people, man. Come on.
Yeah, 100%. And he changed the game. And there are so many wrestlers today who draw influence from everything that Eddie did. And my favorite is when you see a Sasha Banks match and you see her doing the little shimmy.
Yeah.
Or you see someone throw Three Amigos in a match. What a great way to pay tribute to a guy like Eddie. Is there anything else you guys would like to add about the life and times of Eddie Guerrero?
I sorely missed still, but not he's one of those guys that's missed, but not forgotten.
He is celebrated.
Yeah, celebrated still today.
There's amazing. A hole. There's a hole left from that.
Yeah. Well, this has been a lot of fun looking back. These are awesome stories. That AAA stuff, guys, go out of your way to watch it because it is unlike anything you will see today. It is
war zone, man. It's a war zone.
Truly. And I will never look at nail clippers the same way now. So
they will attack you.
It was an experience to me, boy, that I will never forget. I'm so glad we got it on tape again. It was like, okay, you want to be in wrestling? Check this shit out.
Yeah. Come on, star. You want to be a star? Get your ass out of here. Take some. Because poor Dallas, he's got to stand in the corner. He's not a moving target.
Yeah.
In the ring, you're a moving target. And plus, they don't want to hit the baby face. So they'll start, oh, shit, I can't do it yet. Can't do it yet. He's standing there going,
turning around and screaming at people.
Yeah, so he's even closer. Yeah.
It was experience.
That's the way I planned it.
Exactly. That's it. Hey, this is great stuff. This was great stuff, guys. Cameo.com. Go check out Jake and DDP. They're killing it over there. Dallas, anything else you'd like to throw out there for the fine people listening to DDP Snake Pit?
I talked about it earlier. AG1 is something I use, and it's a really healthy choice. So check it out.
Athletic Greens, guys, athleticgreens.com. Go check all that stuff out. And next week here on DDP Snake Pit, it's going to be a fun one. We're talking Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man. Don't miss it. We'll see you next time.
Ooh.